Very well, thank you. Well, firstly, congratulations on completing the Tour de France, the 104th edition. Was this the childhood dream come true?
Yeah, I think as a sports person, even outside of cycling, I think before I was even a cyclist, the Tour was one of those events that kind of captivates you as a sports person. So to go through the whole process of eventually lining up one and finishing one was a bit of one of those dream scenarios.
Did it live up to all your expectations? Was it harder than you thought it would be, or was it what you thought it would be?
It was about right. So I had a brief taste of Grand Tour riding last year. I started and didn't finish a Vuelta, Tour of Spain. And that was an absolute shock. It came at the end of a pretty tough season, so it was an absolute brutal shock. So I was like, I was prepared for the worst come the Tour, and I probably played out the worst case scenario for the Tour, but got through. So I think overall it definitely hit the expectation, but it was manageable. I got around.
You crash on the opening stage of time trial. I mean, that must have just been shattering there for a brief moment in time, wondering, hey, am I already done? Am I only a day into the Tour and potentially it's over?
Yeah, I had long enough. I slid long enough to have that thought that maybe that I've made a grave error and this is it before I hit the fence. So, no, not a great way to start your first Tour, but at the end of the day, it didn't envy there.
Is that where you fractured your foot?
Yeah. I sprained the ankle and fractured the foot. So, to be fair, didn't know it was actually broken for another probably 10 days. But you kind of just, you're trying to get through. Your first reaction is to get through at any cost, and you just take it day by day. And as it played out, eventually we're like, well, this thing's actually broken. But it's one of those things, it doesn't make a difference. It's in a shoe, it's in a stiff carbon shoe, and if there's any broken bone you're going to manage, it's actually probably one of the better ones.
Putting the time trial to one side, when you look over the 21 stages, was there one particular stage, one particular hour, one particular moment where you were just in such a dark place you didn't know how you were going to get yourself out of it?
No, the worst of it came at the end. I kind of got through the first week. I was pretty good the second week, and then kind of descended a bit the third week. And by that point, you're so close and you're so in the motion of getting it done. It's miserable, but you knew you were going to get there. You kind of had, by the time you've been doing it for 16, 17 days, you kind of know how it plays out. You know where you're at, and you know you're going to survive. So it's just simply a matter of doing what you can, doing your job firstly, and then looking after yourself and getting done. So I had a couple of rough days towards the end with the pain and the fatigue, but there was never any point where I was like, oh, this thing ain't going to work.
How did you handle the fans? How did you handle the rock star status that goes with every rider in the Tour de France? Was that a bit off-putting? Was that a distraction? Did that suck up too much energy at times?
Not for me. We had obviously Rigoberto Urán, who ran second in the end, who was a big figure in Colombia and got bigger by the day. So you're kind of just a sideshow to the main event in that regard. It was fun. Like, look, the crowds were amazing, and France really turned on for that bike race. And it's a real thrill to be part of an event that's that big and that ingrained in French culture. So that part of it was actually a lot of fun. And you kind of, as a sports person, I think when it's that big and that encompassing, it was a real buzz for sure.
Any familiar faces on the side of the road? How much Kiwi support?
A lot of Kiwi support, a lot of silver ferns, a lot of New Zealand flags. So that was fun. I was surprised. Look, I haven't been in New Zealand during July for seven or eight years. So I've kind of forgot that the Tour kind of crosses over. It's not just cyclists that get excited about the Tour. I think New Zealanders in general. And the support from back home to start with when I got named was huge. And then I was blown away by purely the number of New Zealand fans around. And you'd make the effort to stop and chat whenever, because it's like we're on the other side of the world here, and then there's Kiwis come across to watch. And it was a big buzz. On top of everything else that's going on, you had a little bit extra when you saw a Kiwi, and you couldn't help but smile to see them there.
You mentioned Rigoberto Urán, who ended up finishing second in the Tour, a teammate of yours with your Cannondale Drapac team. What was primarily your role within the team?
So as the Tour went on, so the Tour is hard. It's for a smaller team like ours, obviously you start out and there's a lot of a lot of chasing breaks, a lot of kind of the publicity stuff. And then as Rigo was closer and closer with the GC, it turned into more and more doing whatever we could for Rigo. Look, we weren't Team Sky. We couldn't turn the race on its head with seven guys just ripping the race to bits. So we had one card to play, and so my job was looking after Rigo when I could. And that was making it over and getting as far into the stage as I could to help Rigo and do what I could and set him up to do his job.
Now, I understand that yesterday the doctors have given you the thumbs up, that you are clear, that you are over your broken foot and you can get back out and start racing again.
Yeah, I guess. I just came off a couple of days ago, so I've been back training for about a week. I had to take kind of 2 weeks off after the tour to let the bone heal because 3 weeks of riding the tour on a broken bone didn't do much for the healing process, so I had to kind of start again when I came home. So got a couple of weeks off and then got the all clear yesterday from the doctor, had follow-up x-rays and did all that. So yeah, back into it now.
Have you had any sort of heads up, any word from team management in terms of what race you might do next, when you'll be competing next?
Could be as early as next week in the Hamburg Cycle Classic, which is a world tour race in Germany. Obviously, coming off the tour and having a couple and like 10 days off is not the worst scenario for my season. So I'm hoping to go through, have a strong September and go through to Worlds. It is hard to know until you're back racing and while there's a tour on now. So there's a bit of a shakeout to come from then, and I'll probably know in the next few days more or less what my program will be for the rest of the year.
Just take us back, say, 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, it hasn't been an easy run for you as a professional cyclist. You were built up from a young age as being the next big thing. You went to the States. You struggled a bit over there. I mean, how have you managed to keep going? How have you dealt with those bad times?
It's never really that bad, I think, is the trick. I think at the end of the day, you're pursuing something that you feel quite strongly about, and it's not an easy road, I think, as far as sports go. Not only is it a hard sport, there's no real pathway. There's no set pathway, and you come out of a country without a kind of, there's no big heritage with the teams or anything coming out of New Zealand. So you're kind of up against it, and a big part of it is finding your way. But that being said, kind of the path I took to end up where I am now, I'm a better cyclist for the experience that I've had. For better or for worse, you kind of have those up and downs. You haven't been on the gravy train through the development years, and you've got to use that to your advantage, and you just kind of you keep on going through all of that, because at the end of the day, no matter where you are in the sport, it's you lose a lot and you win a few at best, so you got to get used to it.
I mean, politics always plays a part in cycling. I think you've probably been on the end of it at times when it comes to national selection at Commonwealth and Olympic Games level on the track. Do you feel sort of any animosity in terms of some of those decisions, or have you just sort of moved on?
No animosity at all. You kind of look at the end of the day, once again, it's you start talking politics and sport and various angles from either Olympic funding versus what you're actually doing or what you're racing don't actually line up. So I think I don't envy the people that have to make those decisions. And I think that ultimately, I think road cycling in New Zealand probably suffers for it. I think we lose a lot of talent who may be able to make it but simply don't have the pathway. So I think that's a bit tough, but it's one of those things. Like you get up and you go again, and you keep going. It's such a the sport's here, and you got to chase what's ahead of you.
You're listening to Veach on Sport. My guest is professional road cyclist out of New Zealand, Patrick Bevan. Patrick, now that you have finished the Tour de France, you've got yourself established in Europe. You're with one of the major trade teams or factory teams in the sport of cycling. What is the ultimate goal for you? What do you want to achieve? Where do you think your talent can take you?
I would like to go a step further and be in the top echelon where you're actually winning World Tour races. That's the goal. There's no kind of sugarcoating that. You've made it into the room where you're racing these big races, but at the end of the day, you want to be winning stages or be winning classics. So it still feels a long way away, but that at the end of the day, that's the goal, and that's why you clip in each morning to go training.
And you see yourself very much as a sprinter?
I've bounced around. Not a pure sprinter. Not the flat days. I think I've kind of slowly working my way into a niche where you're kind of a bit of a mixture, where you're climbing better than most of the sprinters, and you're kind of fighting it out with a group of guys who are similar. I think results at the Tour of Switzerland for me were a big confidence boost, because that's kind of where my strengths lie, and it was an opportunity to use those strengths and put some results on the board. So I think that's kind of where I'm heading.
The sport is trying to genuinely clean itself up. Has that opened more opportunities for New Zealand riders? Because I think we do have a reputation of being clean, green sort of racing machines.
Yeah, I think having lived this for a couple of years at the top level of the sport, and people can shrug or laugh or think I'm naive, but I genuinely think cycling's getting cleaner. Look, I'm essentially 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the drug testers can find me. So, and if they can find me, every single person's on the same whereabouts thing. And I know cycling gets a bad rap, and I think it's probably unfair, because they genuinely test more than a lot of sports. So I think, yes, it is getting cleaner. I think as it gets cleaner and the sport kind of evolves, you are getting more people coming from kind of the fringe countries. But overall, I genuinely think it is cleaner, and it gives opportunity for clean riders to race and win.
When you're travelling Europe and you're riding the Tour de France and there are other New Zealanders on other teams, is there a level of camaraderie in the peloton? Is there just more of a connection because you do come from the same country and perhaps you grew up racing against each other? I mean, the likes of Dion Smith in this year's Tour de France, Jack Bauer.
Yeah, when you can. Look, we had four riders there with four very different kind of roles, but you certainly give a bit of time whenever you see them when the pace is off and you've got a bit of time to have a chat, for sure. I think there's a lot of mutual respect and then kind of genuine kind of will to see guys go well. And it is good, and I think it's a strong little culture, especially in Girona. There's a lot of Kiwis around here now, a lot of the a lot of the Antipodean riders base themselves here. So there's a lot of English speaking riders, and there's quite a culture of guys you see around and train with and race with who you like to see succeed. If it's not going to be you, it's not going to be your teammate. You like seeing those guys you train with succeed, and the Kiwi thing is strong, and it is good to see New Zealand road cycling in a real strong phase. I think we've got more professionals now than we've ever had. We obviously had four starters at the tour, which is the most we've had. So I think it's all good signs for New Zealand cycling.
Why Girona? I mean, so many wonderful parts of Europe, so many wonderful training grounds. Why does that appear to be the hub for so many athletes?
Just, I think, accessibility. And the training here is great. The people here are really friendly. The accessibility to Barcelona Airport to fly to a race, and all of that kind of just kind of molds together. And then you get to the point where, look, there's a lot of English speaking people here. So if you're a new pro with nowhere else to go, you're going to go where there are people, where you're going to have friends, you're going to have people to train with, you're going to have people to help you when you're in trouble, kind of thing. So that all kind of comes together, and it kind of just gains momentum, and it's been gaining momentum for years, and it's definitely seeing a big surge in riders.
Now, Patrick, you're from Taupo. Plenty of support coming out of that central North Island town.
Yeah, it's great. It's for sure. The not only the tour, there's been a lot of support throughout my career. I've had bits and pieces for a long time, and even bumped into club members in random parts of Europe. Which is really cool. I think races like having the cycle challenge there and having a strong cycle club there is good. You're kind of proud of that little connection, and that's good. And you have that behind you.
And look, Patrick, just before we do let you go, I know that you guys race for food, and to get to where you've got, it's not always easy. You're living out of the back of cars. I'd imagine over the years you've picked up sponsorship. You've had a lot of people supporting you. This is a large audience this afternoon. Is there anybody you'd like to thank or acknowledge?
Like to thank, look, that list is really, really long. I think I've had a huge amount of support throughout both the Taupo and Te Amuru cycling clubs. And really, if I'm not gonna drag out for minutes and minutes and hours, I think the cycling clubs have been great to me, and I'll always be grateful to the support I had coming through as a cyclist.
Well, Patrick Bevitt, thank you for joining us this afternoon on the program. Look, all the very best in the weeks coming, and we look forward to following your progress throughout the rest of the international cycling season.
All right. Thank you very much.